So the Yankees now are trying to be the second team to ever lose three straight games, get shut out, and win the World Series. That's where we're at already. It's June, and the Yankees already have to do some unprecedented shit to make it. So that's,
yeah, I was told not to care.
That's where we're at. We got an interesting show for you guys, because obviously if you guys show up, if you build it, they will come. Well, if they come, you will build it. And that's how I'm looking at it. So we got a show for you guys today, because we already have 56 people in here. God bless every single soul that is in here right now, because this is a funeral. It just is right
I'm
now.
I'm dressed for a funeral.
Five consecutive losses for the Yankees. By the way, they've never been shut out of four games in their entire history. So tomorrow quite literally will be a funeral if that's the case. So we're going to talk about Boone's quote yesterday about Stanton, or it was today. Either way, he talked about Stanton. We didn't really care for it. Michael Kay had a really interesting take that should probably be talked about more. And we touched on it, but we'll get into that. Boone had an interesting comment about the lineup. Gary has the quote, so we'll get into that a little bit later. Austin Wells had a quote that grinded Gary's gears. If you've ever seen Family Guy, grind my gears. Yeah, Gary was not too thrilled about that quote. And then we'll end it on a positive note, because Will Warren looked like an absolute sensation today with 11 strikeouts. And I don't even think any of those three runs, maybe one of them, should have been earned. I would have given all of those plays errors. I thought the defense absolutely failed him. So we're going to get into it. Before we do, be sure to hit that thumbs up button, please, dear God, because if you don't, YouTube is going to assume that not only did you not like the video, you hated the video. You didn't like Gary's haircut. You hated my backdrop. I already know a lot of people
I do need a haircut. But I also ordered a Magic Mouse today. Dead on arrival. Just never worked. I charged it. Yeah, dead. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that.
Like the Yankees scrolling lineup.
The scrolling doesn't do anything. So it's going right back in the box. It's dead just like our lineup. So yeah, as you put it. Yeah, except but let's start this thing. Right. Yeah.
So we'll start off with Stan. We'll start off with Stan, because things are good with Stan. We're wasting. The Yankees are wasting really good Stanton at bats. But that's a good thing that Stanton is hitting. But it sucks that they're not capitalizing, especially when he puts together a double and you can't drive him in. That's insane. Okay. So I saw this morning, actually, that Aaron Boone, and people were talking about this all over social media, Aaron Boone essentially kind of gave away the hidden. He said the quiet part out loud. He basically said Stanton's been hitting for 2 months now. So people were like, the hell? What do you mean he's been hitting for 2 months? Like, he's good to go. And basically Boone was kind of alluding to that. Now, we don't know for sure what that actually means, but at the same time, there were a lot of people that said, man, good thing Stanton's going to be in the lineup against Boston, because we're going to need all the firepower we can get against this team that just seems to have our number. He was not anywhere to be found in Boston. As a matter of fact, he wasn't even with the Yankees in Boston.
Nope.
So, Gary, my thoughts on this. I hate it. If Stanton was ready to go, I understand being cautious, but 2 months seems like really overly cautious. And honestly, if you're going to be cautious, I mentioned this to you at the beginning of the season. Stanton, his most important quality is postseason. So if you're going to be that cautious, don't even play him until like September and then let him rev up. Why play him in June? Anyway, what are your thoughts on this? Am I justified to be a little annoyed, a little peeved like the rest of social media is?
My first thought is, what's the purpose of delivering us information? If you're the manager, and Aaron Boone is always strategic of what he tells us, when he tells us, right, why. And yet, when I heard this, my first thought is, what was the intention behind delivering us this information? And then now we're going to chew on it. Now we're going to say, okay, he's been swinging the bat for 2 months. We have to figure out, does that mean he's been taking at bats? Does it mean he's been swinging off a tee? How do we trust what you're saying? And so when a lot of people told me, hey, Giancarlo seems healthy, he seems like he's taking quality at bats against starters, against guys who are pitching, well, he's going to be there for that Boston series for sure. And the reason they did that was they were placing an emphasis. And Jake, you did this before we went live. You said, oh, he's got to be back for that Boston series. He's got to be back. And I didn't even really say anything to you because my anticipation is that a team trying to win a pennant, a team trying to win a World Series, is going to get guys back in the lineup any means necessary in the big series. You're playing the Dodgers, right? You're playing the Mets, right? In these series, you're playing the Red Sox. You want to find a way to have all hands on deck to win these series and send a message. But what it tells me is that it doesn't feel like, and I'm not going to say that Boone had a healthy Giancarlo Stanton on the sidelines, but I'm not sure if he did. I feel like they said, well, we've got good options in Ben Rice. We've got quality options in Paul Goldschmidt at DH, and they're splitting time. It just sort of feels like a nice little relaxing timeshare. That's how I feel, and some people call it a country club. It's probably a little bit exaggerated, but I'm going to tell you, there doesn't seem to be a major emphasis to get guys back on the field the second they're ready. It just sort of feels like we bubble wrap guys and say, oh, well, let's give it an extra week just to be sure. Because if we go on some type of losing streak or we lose one or two games that you might have been able to change, well, so be it. It's just June. It's not that important. And so when we as fans pile into podcasts and we're listening and trying to figure out what's going on with this team, it feels like we care a lot more about this. And I know we don't care that much more than they do because it's their jobs, but it doesn't feel like they care about as much as we do. And so I just struggle to figure out why this information was punted to us. And then now we're just expected to be like, oh, okay, he's been hit for 2 months, and then say nothing about it.
It felt like one of those things where he didn't realize what he was saying until he said it. And then, you know, now people are going to react the way they did. And I was one of those people. I normally just don't really take too much. I take everything with a grain of salt when it comes to, you know, pressers and baseball. You have 162 games. That means you probably have, you double that, over 300 pressers, right? So more than that, because you have a morning and then you have a pregame and then you have a postgame. You even
have a mid-game.
He should
be used to it. He should be used to it at this point.
Yeah.
People are badgering him before the game, after the game.
Yeah.
We're talking spring training. People are asking, they're talking about who's playing left field and competitions, who's coming out of, right? It's not like this many other places, probably not anywhere else. So no. For Aaron Boone to not be prepared in this moment, it didn't make sense. Am I going to spend 40 minutes on it? No. But did I think it was just poor word choice? Yeah, I really do. I think it just made no sense. It just kind of reeked of Giancarlo's bubble wrapped. We don't really give a rat's ass about that Red Sox series. Like, yeah, we want to win it, but we're certainly not going to put Giancarlo on the field the second he's ready. We're just going to make sure if he does touch the field, there's like no risk whatsoever. And that no risk whatsoever series just happened to be Anaheim. So the Yankees view it very clearly as one of 162. I kind of introduced that idea the past few days, but that's not the way I want the Yankees to go about their business. I want them to show up to the field and say, we're the Yankees. We're trying to punch you in the teeth. We need to win today. And when you have that mentality and that quality about you, it tends to work out in the end. And some of those quotes, by the way, I know you teed it up earlier, you know, with Austin Wells, he sort of echoes this exact same sentiment. So stay tuned. You guys will hear that.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. I did not like what I heard from you, but we'll get to that. So now up next, Michael Kay, our favorite.
I love this.
Love what he has to say. I love listening to him on Yes Network. Michael Kay on his radio show really started to hit home on a good problem is still a problem. And I think you guys know where we're going with this, but if you don't, he's talking about this rotation that has since become not just you and I talking about what will be, but what is. Because Boone is telling us that, I think you mentioned this, Paul Goldschmidt is like, you know, he's having a rotational effort right now, right?
Sure,
I
is.
Mean, it's interesting, right? Because you have Paul Goldschmidt now who's in the rotation, and you got, you know, Ben Rice, and you got Trent Grisham and Jason Dominguez. And, oh, now Stanton comes in the mix. And now you don't have that DH to just give to Judge, right? You don't have that DH to just give to Ben Rice. You don't have that DH to just give a guy a half day. And so basically Michael Kay was saying, yeah, just because you have players that are really good in certain roles off the bench doesn't necessarily mean this is a good problem to have, because it's still a problem. And what he meant by that was, when these guys are in a rhythm and you're doing this constant rotation, these guys essentially can't stay in rhythm. It's hard. Baseball is a tough sport. It's why, say what you will about Pablo Reyes, but that dude was playing every 15 games. He had no chance, right? I mean, we know how we feel about him, but let's
you're not
going
to play
fair.
Quality baseball in that yeah. role. You're literally there to just, you're a plug and play. They're exactly. just going to slap you on the side of there and just pray you do anything. And if you do something, I guess if you don't, they're just going to scapegoat you and say, why the hell did he play? And then we're going to see you again in 3 weeks. But I mean, I guess your point here is that, is it really a good thing if you've got 11 guys? And really, I don't really feel that way. I just feel like guys are kind of stacked up on top of each other positionally. I think that's
good
in
the postseason, you know, to have that. Well, it's good to have depth in the postseason. We talked about that, right? It's why you and I want a Duke Ellis on the roster, because we in the postseason, when it's 1-0 games and you need a pinch runner, that's good.
But
when
that's
you
not
have
depth,
a bunch
though.
Of guys, no, that's true. When you have a bunch of guys that are just starters, well,
right.
They're
so that's my point.
Away on the bench.
That is not depth. Having a player who's fast on your bench and he's relegated to that role, he will not step out of that role. That's mm-hmm. your job. Hey, okay, Jason Dominguez with a leadoff walk. He's kind of banged up. Maybe Jazz Chisholm, a little banged up. Giancarlo Stanton, leadoff walk. You're going to be running for Stanton. Just know that. Be ready for that role. That is not depth, right? So you're sitting here looking at Jason Dominguez, right? You look at Dominguez, you look at Judge, you look at Bellinger, and then you say, okay, who's our outfield really? If I had to ask you, Jake, you said, well, who plays outfield for this team? You wouldn't be able to name me three guys. You would have to name me literally a timeshare. Dominguez plays, he very well could just sit tomorrow. We have no idea what he's doing tomorrow. He easily could sit. So he comes to the field knowing, I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow. I don't know. Cody Bellinger's probably going to play because of what he does defensively. He's probably the guy you know is going to play. Judge could DH. He could also be in right field. Okay. Grisham, who's been Aaron Boone's favorite player to play this year. Obviously, he had the hot start, so I understood why he was playing him. But the conclusion here, we continue to call this a good problem to have. The fact that Trent Grisham can just play, and then all of a sudden you've got Jason Dominguez, a guy that you called your top prospect, a guy who is your top prospect, and you're like, oh no, Grisham's playing well. So good problem to have. Hey, Jason, go sit on your behind. And then later on, we'll need you. So stay ready. There's no top prospect in baseball who plays well this way. It just doesn't happen. So I'm not here to just blame, Jake, everything that's happening on the fact that Dominguez is being kind of rug pulled in terms of his play time. But guys, how is it a good problem to have? Michael Kay said it best. You have good players on the bench. Boone said it best. I've got good players on the bench. There are a couple holes in this roster. Fill those holes by getting rid of some of this excess talent that you keep telling me you have. I don't get this, Jake. I hate it. I do.
Did you just happen to see what Daniel Monahan dropped? I don't even think I heard a word you said. I was literally trying so hard, like, not to.
Can I read
you.
This?
Yeah, of course.
So, Daniel, with the $200 super chat, we never in a million years thought we would see the day. Daniel, we thought we lost you. We
Thank
thought
you, Daniel
pulled the plug on the podcast. Daniel, this is incredible. Thank you so much for that. Daniel, he says, I lost the bet in the chat with Sir William Wallace. Yes, William has been talking about it for the last 2 days. Don't you worry.
Downer.
Yeah. We got to have some merch someday of Willie Downer. That would be awesome. But over the Red Sox series, that was embarrassing, by the way. I'm very sad we had to be reminded. 3 shutouts in a row is embarrassing. Why can't the Yankees play basic baseball? Shaking my head. So again, Daniel, we really appreciate you owning up to the bet. And to answer this question, I'm going to say this. the Yankees can't play basic baseball, or at the very least have a higher baseline of expectation, because they don't take these games as serious as you'd like them to take. The only person who I actually liked post-game was Cody Bellinger. Cody Bellinger said, yeah, we have to fight, and I hate it. It sucks. He was talking about the emotional pull of having to go through this as a player. That's what I want to hear. And if you put a mic in front of Giancarlo Stanton, who's, by the way, hitting well, he would give this exact same answer, Daniel. So to answer the question, they have a low baseline because they honestly don't believe June 17th is just that important. They just kind of know, we'll turn it on. We've got Tampa behind us. We've got Toronto behind us. And if we turn it on and we're hot at the right time, we'll go where we need to go. And I think that's a poor habit to have, and I think it's a reflection of our leadership.
I really don't like the whole, and this is why most people don't care about the post-game stuff, because it's the, yeah, you know, I'll be good for my teammates. You know, it's one of 162, and you know, I trust the guys here, and you know,
the worst, man. It's so bad.
I mean, I don't like football either. Yeah, we just didn't have it today. You know, we were in the red zone, just couldn't score. And yeah, you know, we'll go back to the film and try to get better at it. Like,
should they abolish this? Like, just
absolutely.
There's no reason to hear from Aaron Boone. Like, no reason to hear from these guys.
Hear me out. The only reason they have it is for the reporters, right? Because the reporters have to write their articles, because they're going to put those quotes in an article that kind of summarizes the game. They already have secret access to these guys. They have Zoom meetings. I know this. And so, yeah, it's just one of those things like where, like, I get it, but it's one of those things that's just silly. Like, I maybe I'm wrong, but it's just silly when you're sitting there and it's like, yeah, you know, took a pitch that I probably shouldn't, but that's just baseball. So, you know, we'll just.
I've kind of figured out, though, if you're going to do these interviews, all you have to do is present that you care. If you really think about it, you can't show that you care about something to the fans and they go, oh, I hate that. How emotional. Do you remember when they were showing
that escalated quickly, Alex Reyes?
Yeah. I mean, given what's going on, Alex Reyes with the two. He's like, yeah, World War III can't come fast enough after this.
Maybe this is the sign everything's coming to an end. The Yankees just have forgotten how to hit.
Right. So, yeah. Anyways, Alex.
Had a double. Oh, my God. We're in trouble right now.
Alex, we appreciate the super. Yeah, this is an embarrassing. There's no way for us to sugarcoat this. It's an embarrassing moment of baseball, and no one seems to really give a rip. They just kind of feel like this is just baseball, right? And we're going to get into the quotes from Wells, like I said earlier. Everyone pretty much is echoing the same sentiments, and we have to wonder why. I mean, we really don't have to wonder, but people are just like, oh.
No,
wait,
me out.
You're joking?
No, because he was in the World Series. He represents the AL. So think about this. Think about this. There is a possibility. I'm not saying this will happen, but what if the Yankees never scored another run until the All-Star game? He would still have to be the manager.
Yeah.
That's
he could be fired. He could be. Has anyone ever been fired and then they're forced to represent? Probably not. Could you imagine?
No, there's no way.
Yeah. And by the way,
it's going to be him.
We
and
know
Torrey.
He wouldn't be fired. Yeah, he wouldn't be fired. It would just never happen. It's just not. And by the way, I think Boone is a good manager.
I just don't think he
knows how to get guys back on the horse. I think that's my biggest gripe with Aaron Boone, is when you fall off the horse, you need someone with some balls. And like, he has fire. He'll go get ejected. He'll stand up for guys. But will he hold them accountable and be like, no, this isn't good enough? Just get better. I don't see it.
Boone reminds me of Kyle Shanahan, but he's more likable. Like the players.
More liked
him
by
more.
His players?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because Boone is loved by the players.
I mean, well, to be fair, the fans also call, you know, Kyle Shanahan Lyle. They don't like him either. 49er fans hate him. So
really?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know this.
I just came off a NFC West roundtable, and in the comment section, they're like, Lyle Shanahan. Like, 49er fans do not like Kyle Shanahan. And
why do you think that is? Do you feel like it's an accountability issue? Because mind you, I think we should be able to run polls on YouTube. And obviously they just never let. We can run polls?
Not in the chat, I don't think. But, oh no, yeah. No, we definitely can.
We should be able to run polls.
Why are we not running a poll every time? We can do Q&A. We can do... All right, let's do a poll. All right. What would you like? I could make it right now. We have 306 people in here.
Well, I mean, I don't know what to do for a poll. But, I mean, if people could... Well, I mean, that's what the chat's for. That's the thing.
Oh, I have an idea. Aaron Boone, approval rating. Okay.
Okay.
A, B... we'll do C/D and F fired.
And just see the temperature in the room. Obviously, we can't score, so tensions are high.
We got an A immediately. Oh, that got taken away. Yeah, so we'll monitor it. Obviously, we can keep going. But yeah, I think, why do people not like Kyle Shanahan? I think it's because of just... all these different players that want to get traded away from the Niners, fine. Falling short in the Super Bowl twice. And then I think the people that don't like Boone, bullpen mismanagement. I do think if you are a player coach, you are putting a target on your back to the audience. That's always how
I would agree with that 100% because it almost feels like you have a level of protection when people say,
yes,
oh, but we text, right? Oh, Aaron Boone, he has a relationship.
Yeah.
Oh, I can text him. You think I give a rat's behind if you guys text? I don't care if you guys are pen pals or not. You guys can send each other teddy bears in the mail. I don't care what you do. All I care about is if Jazz Chisholm makes a mistake, and he's human. He's going to make a mistake, right? He's going to need coaching and assistance to get to the level that he has to go to at some point, whether it's another player who helps him or it's more than likely his manager. If your manager's equipped with the fire to pull out the best in you, you don't have to be liked by your coach. I mean, has anyone seen Coach Carter? Has anyone seen this movie? No one likes this coach. Nobody. The whole movie, but they all love him in the end. Why? Because they respect him. That's why. It's just a respect thing. It has nothing to do with do you think Coach Carter was texting dudes? No, he wouldn't. So that's where I'm at with this. And obviously Scott Ross with the super, this is kind of what you're saying here about Thank being you, Scott. A player's coach. It's about the status quo. It's about he's just going to feed you answers. And this is one of many. It's right in front of us. It doesn't feel important. They don't project that. So do I think Boone's a better manager than we're probably, not we, but the Yankees audience is going to give him credit for? Yeah, I do think he's a lot better than Yankees fans will give him credit for. But does he do the most important part of the job, which is holding players accountable, rather than just pretending it doesn't matter that much? No, I think he fails in that way, and it costs the Yankees in a big way. It makes these losing streaks that much harder to watch.
He'll do something once a year that's like eye-opening, but it'll be like the benching of Gleyber Torres for like a couple days or 3 days or whatever because he didn't jog. He jogged to first. But it's not consistent. Like, he doesn't have that kind of appreciation around the league as the guy that would do that. You know, he's not a Joe Torre, a Bobby Cox. Like, what was it Jeter said? Joe Torre would bench me if I wasn't out there giving 110%. Like, and he would pick
I can't
up
remember
that.
Who said that, but it was definitely a great player. Very well could have been Jeter.
Oh, no, it was Paul O'Neill.
Paul O'Neill. Okay, so, I mean, but it doesn't that tell you there's some level of fear? You should be fearful of authority. If you don't do what you're supposed to do, something's going to be done about it. And we saw it literally just a couple days ago. Jason Dominguez was like, oh, I didn't know the count.
Isn't
oh, I just want to pay. And the very next day, he's like, oh, yeah, I can't wait to play. He's just on the field. All right.
Isn't it funny? Joe Torre, what's the one thing you thought of Joe Torre when you were watching TV? That dude did not look like a player's coach at all. He looked like pissed off all the time, like no nonsense, focused on the game, not trying to be your buddy. And he always looked mad.
He looked like a car mechanic just sitting in the back of some random deal, just pissed off.
He looked
at the
like
world.
The car mechanic. That is just chilling there, and then some 18-year-old drives in their car, and it's like just everything is just off. Like,
so you don't think Joe Torre could work at Chick-fil-A?
No. Yeah, Joe Torre would be throwing fisticuffs.
Yeah, that's valid.
Yeah.
So obviously, I want to get to this super. I mean, there's no chat, but we appreciate CMed14. Thank you for the two and supporting the channel. We really appreciate it. And gotta love these names. Love the picture, by the way. Huge fan of dogs. I am. I don't know about Jake. Ninja Hot Dog.
I love dogs. Are you kidding
with
me?
With the five. Yeah, if you don't like dogs, there's something wrong with you. Our medical team seems to be unbelievable. How do you not give Cole surgery at the start of the offseason? God, we didn't expect to talk about this, but keep Stan out an extra 2 months. So I do think to some degree what was going on with Garrett Cole, it was pretty similar to what you saw with Masahiro Tanaka. I've brought this up before. We're not going to talk a ton about this, but he wanted to help the Yankees win in the short term. That's the way the Yankees were perceiving their run. Can Garrett Cole pitch at a high enough level to help this team? And he did. He did help the Yankees. Was he the Garrett Cole of usual? No. And if we had won the World Series and then we lose him to Tommy John, yeah, we'd be sad. It would suck. But it wouldn't have been in vain. And so now that we didn't win and we kind of embarrassed ourselves in front of like everyone, really, in five games, now in hindsight, we're like, oh, I guess we probably should have shut down Garrett Cole early. So just one of those things where they made a mistake. But this Stan thing, I feel like I don't have any information. I feel like they just gave me half bits of information and I'm expected to ignore it. So I guess I will.
Hey, it sounds familiar. Like, I don't know. What was it? February, March, when they're like, oh yeah, by the way, Stan probably might never play again. And you're like, so you're telling me the last at bat he had was in the World Series. And now like no one bothered to tell anybody about anything. And now they're
same thing with Luis Gil. We haven't necessarily had direct line of contact where we know what's happening and when will guys show up. Luke Weaver goes down
in spring training. I thought he did.
I'm not exactly sure when he pitched in spring training. He may have. I think he did, but it was the same deal with Luke Weaver. He goes down with a hamstring. I hesitate to call you Ninja Hot Dog, but Weaver goes down with a hamstring. They're like, oh, it's 6 to 8 weeks. And then all of a sudden he's now tracking and pitching the hitters way sooner than what they told us. So I think there's this like give and take where they don't really tell us what we need to hear. They sort of just like fluff it to us. So yeah, honestly, I don't have an answer. I'm not on our training staff. I wouldn't pretend to. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I'm seeing here, unless I'm reading this wrong, doesn't appear he pitched. I thought he did.
I mean, I guess not. So I want to get, by the way, I want to get to this. Did we? So we already got to Michael K. We probably should talk. I mean, I guess we wasted Will Warren. I mean, total waste, right? It was a waste.
Awful. He was. Well, I mean, what else is new? They're doing it with every pitcher. Clark Schmidt gives him almost 8 innings. Nope.
Yeah. I guess we can just catch up on some of these supers. Michael with the 5. Thank you for that. Says the summer slumps and embarrassing little league errors started with Boone. Why are Boone and Cashman untouchable? So I'm just going to go ahead and just tell it to you straight. They're untouchable because they just are. They're part of the old. It's like Aaron Boone was hired because he was well-liked, okay? And mind you, he's still a smart baseball mind. He's no dummy. You don't get hired as manager of the Yankees because you're stupid and you don't know baseball. But when they got rid of Girardi, Girardi wasn't married to analytics. He wasn't going to not necessarily allow analytics to steer the ship, but you need to be able to make some of your decisions based on analytics and then a hybrid. You need to be a hybrid manager. Use your mind, your baseball mind, all your knowledge, but also we need you to account for these analytics. Girardi didn't want to do that. That's why when he's in the booth, you don't hear much analytical talk. You hear a lot of feel. Right? You hear a lot of, I feel like I would have done this and maybe, right? So not the way that the Yankees are currently managing. So when you ask, why are they untouchable? They're untouchable because they're operating exactly the way Hal Steinbrenner wants the Yankees to operate. Does Hal want to win a World Series? Yes, he does. But he wants to win it the way he wants to win it. And you look at Boone, you look at Cashman, they're doing everything Hal wants them to do. So as long as Hal's happy, untouchable. If the boss loves you, you are not being fired.
No, it's true. And yeah, I think they're both kind of again, in a lot of ways, it's very similar to Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch in San Francisco. Like, big enough names where I just don't think they're going to get fired, regardless of what happens. But who knows? Maybe. All right. So, what was it? Jordan, thank you for the five. Appreciate you, Michael, by the way. Jordan, thank you for the five. What has Dominguez done to earn a leadoff spot? Sad, I know Boone accepts defeat and throws in the flag when he goes to Hamilton. Hamilton looked great today. So Hamilton did his job. The lineup did not, except for Stanton. I'm going to say this. Had no issue with Dominguez leading off. Guy works counts. He walks. He's fast, right? I've talked about that. I like the idea, and this is why I don't want to get on Boone too much in this position, because I do agree. So things aren't working. What did Boone do today? He switched up the lineup. I've never seen Goldschmidt bat sixth. He switched up the lineup, and the grown men in this lineup did not do anything. So it's like, I also want to acknowledge that. I don't want to make excuses and just be like, the players have to play.
Right.
Yeah. But meanwhile, Stanton, who hasn't hit since the World Series, is hitting better than anybody on this roster right now. That's silly. That is not being talked about nearly enough. Giancarlo Stanton has not swung a bat in a meaningful game since October. And now since he's come back, he's hitting .500. And every single ball he makes contact with is over 100 miles an hour.
Like, yeah, more importantly, it doesn't find a glove. So we don't have to talk about the... Yeah. It's ironic that we never talk about the idea of luck when it comes to Judge, Stanton, a lot of those guys, but we do for these other players. Obviously, they'll remain nameless. But if I want to give you guys what Aaron Boone said pregame, because Jordan, we really appreciate the five. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
This is what Aaron Boone had to say before the game. He said, kind of just my obsession with balance. Grish, Trent Grisham, and Rice, who've been leading off mostly against righties, and he's saying this because Kyle Hendricks was slated to start today's game, who had the second worst ERA as a starter in Major League Baseball, and yet we were freaking out about him on the broadcast like he was...
Sandy Koufax?
Like he was prime Sandy Koufax. Like he was right in the... They were talking about his cut changeup. It was ridiculous. They were both out today. He says both of them being out today in Grish and Rice. He talked about them like they were hurt, right? They literally didn't play today, not because they didn't outplay Dominguez the last week and a half. No, they just didn't play just because they just didn't. Boone just felt like they shouldn't play. And he says, I considered going with my lefty lineup and having Goldie lead off, but I felt like this was the best way to go. He just felt like it. So there's no rhyme or reason. There's no play style. And by the way, I agree with you. I like that something changed going into the lineup, because those guys weren't getting it done. But I will say, did I feel like Jason Dominguez was our best option to play, given, you know, maybe Ben Rice? I'd rather see Ben Rice in a game that I feel like I have to play. Like, I have to win that game. I'd rather see Rice. So, yeah, I didn't have too much of a problem with it. But it just kind of goes back to show what Michael Kay was saying. It's a problem. You can call it a good problem all you want, but good players just sat today for no reason, and then somehow, some way, the guy who you didn't feel comfortable playing multiple days in a row in this past week, he just shows up and he's your leadoff guy. So crazy stuff's happening for the Yankees.
What's interesting is, you know what I've come away with is that watching the at-bats, I feel like Cody Bellinger would probably be the best leadoff option from just the way he approaches the plate. I know he's kind of struggling right now, but and he did have one of the four hits today. Maybe they should go with Bellinger as the leadoff hitter now, because I do feel like that is that's an issue. You watch Jason Dominguez today. The first at bat of the game, I think, really can set the table, right? It really can. If you get off to a hot start, say he ropes a single, ropes a double, whatever, or hits a home run, this is a completely different game. But striking out the way he did, now it's Judge and then Bellinger. And it's like, to me, you already have one out. Judge isn't swinging a hot bat right now. He's not. That average has gone from, wow, he might hit 400 again, to now it's 372. So Judge is not hitting you know, he's not swinging a hot bat. I mean, you could argue that going with, because I understand why you'd want Stanton in the cleanup role, but you could argue Stanton as the two hitter, Bellinger as the one hitter, and then Judge. See, I feel like Boone is too focused on going lefty, righty, lefty, righty, lefty, righty. One thing I don't like about that is that we've talked about this. Bellinger, Jazz Chisholm, I believe, who's the other one that has reverse splits? These guys have reverse splits. So who cares about going lefty, righty, lefty, righty, lefty, righty? You know what I'm saying?
No, I understand what you're saying. It's more of, so I don't know if I necessarily care who they decide to lead off of this team. I don't even really think I care. But when you do look up and you look at Jason Dominguez, who's hitting 236, his ops is league average. It's 705. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you have to ask yourself, is this just that he's not that good? Or was it a mistake riding out a hot streak of Trent Grisham? Right. And mind you, Trent Grisham gave us a lot of output. He did. There was production there.
That's a real good question.
I understand why Aaron Boone made the decision to play this player, because we were all saying he's Trent Grisham Bonds. He was saying in spring training, I'm going to play him more. That this is something I want to put emphasis on. And out of spring training and opening day and that opening series, and as we went on, you said, hold on a second. I think Aaron Boone saw something that's working. I think Trent Grisham's answering questions of what's different. And he's right. He's riding high. But all while, Michael Kay and all this, the crew is saying, oh, this is a good problem to have, right? And they're not necessarily subscribing to it, but it's the message out there for the Yankees. We've got depth. But if some of the depth you have that's not playing because you have all this talent, you're telling me, is your top prospect, how's he going to develop if he's just one of many? If he's just one of four options you've got in the outfield? I think that's a major misfire by the Yankees. And this is my conclusion. I believe the Yankees should have made a decision right away. Is Jason Dominguez going to play every single day the exact same way we did with Anthony Volpe? Or are we just going to trade his behind? Those should be the only two options you have, because there's no reason for Jason Dominguez to be considered your top prospect when he's really just a depth piece. And then if he takes the position and he's so electric as a timeshare player, what, you're just going to start playing him more? I don't see how that works for a young player. I think that's a mistake, Jake.
I love how you kind of doubled it back to what Kay was saying, because, I mean, that's essentially what he was saying.
Right.
That's part of it, right? It is kind of what we talked about off air, and why I was like, you know, we went off air 2-3 days ago, and I said, I wouldn't be surprised if they traded Dominguez, because I kept thinking, I'm like, I understand Spencer Jones strikes out a bunch, but this team has also shown in the past they don't care about strikeouts. Aaron Judge struck out over 200 times. Do you think they care? No. If he's slugging, they don't care. But in addition to that, if Dominguez is the worst fielding left fielder in the league, which according to analytics he is,
yep,
and Spencer Jones, they see him as a plus fielder, gold glove level outfielder, really good athleticism, you know? And it goes back to, I'm glad you brought it up, Anthony Volpe never sat. He never took any time. He never split time with anybody.
Why did that happen?
Anthony Volpe, well, do you remember what they tried to do? They tried to say that it was like they were doing us a favor type deal. Remember that?
I don't remember them saying they were doing us a favor, but would you agree we're going to let him take his lumps? Isn't that the way that they described it? For the sake of his development.
The fan base was clamoring for him because of all of the, I hate to say this word, but I'm going to anyway, propaganda that would lead you to believe that Anthony Volpe was a superstar in waiting. And so obviously any fan is like, we have a superstar in our backyard and we're not going to bring him up. Really? And so they do.
Yeah.
But they did after some pushback, because initially it didn't look like he was going to make the roster, if you remember, out of camp. And there were furious fans. They're like, they're doing this for service time and all of that. And then Brian Cashman finally is like, all right, are you happy? There you go. Volpe is on the opening.
And no matter
roster.
What he did, now mind you, he hits 20 homers. Mm-hmm. He hits 200. Mm-hmm. He made some mental mistakes with the glove, right? He made some errors that he otherwise wouldn't make. But no matter what he did, he didn't come out. The Yankees very easily could have signed depth at shortstop and said, well, it's a good problem to have. If Volpe's got it going, we put him at short. And then if he doesn't have it going, I've got this veteran over here I can just plop over at shortstop. And yet they didn't do that. Why? Because they said, for the sake of his development, to go where we need him to go, he's got to play. Well, Jason Dominguez, based on the way they're treating Jason Dominguez, he should just be traded at the deadline. There's no reason to have him. So you guys, and this isn't me saying Jason Dominguez should be traded, so I want to make that as clear as possible. But my point is, if you're going to use him this way, where he's just going to hit 250, he's going to hit probably on pace for like 16 to 18 homers. He's really fast. He's a horrible glove. He can't hit righty, but he can hit pretty well lefty. And you're just going to have him out there splitting time with Trent Grisham? Take him off the field. Trade him. There's no reason to have him here because it's not a good problem to have. It's a waste of talent. It's a waste of an asset. That's my opinion on it. And not everyone has to agree. That's the beauty of podcasting is our mics just, they don't just shut off just because maybe someone agrees or not. But
can you imagine that?
Yeah, I can imagine in certain countries, but not here. But it's like, if you really believe in Jason Dominguez, would you really have a timeshare going on in the outfield and then just painting it to me as a good problem? It's not a good problem. You've got a player who's not developing. That's actually the verdict so far on Jason Dominguez. He's not a threat. No one comes to Yankee Stadium and says, we got to worry about this young kid. If you show up to Fenway and Roman Anthony walks up to the plate, you immediately kind of get up and say, oh, I want to see if this kid is going to cement himself right now. Is that going to happen right now? We don't have that with Jason Dominguez. He's just one other of the guys. And he has the talent to be great, but where can he reach that? I don't know where the pop went. I honestly have no idea. It could be the injuries. No idea.
I do think it's partially that, but I also think to your point, you play Trent Grisham all the time. It's not just he gets cold, but also the confidence, young player, right? I mean, I think the argument could be made maybe they should trade Trent Grisham.
Well, Trent Grisham's not going to yield you pretty much anything. He's in the final year of his contract.
Though, because think well, about he's this.
What do you think he would yield the Yankees?
You could probably trade for a kind of mediocre contract, like not really great contract, but a good player. Mm-hmm. You could probably trade Trent Grisham straight up for a team that really needed a bat and had a surplus of pitching. There you go.
Is there any team out there? Well, I guess you can say maybe like a Seattle would say we've got a ton of pitching. We could use Trent Grisham in the outfield, but there very well could be potential that the Yankees just kind of rode the hot streak of Trent Grisham, and Major League Baseball is going to look up and say, I'm not fooled by that. Trent Grisham the last 5 years has been this. You're not going to trade me a player who did this his whole career. Then he joins the Yankees and does this for a month and then goes right back to here, and then now I'm going to
But you know what you're talking about right now? The trade deadline. That is literally the trade deadline. Remember, perfect.
But he's
example.
Already fallen off a cliff. Trent perfect Grisham isn't hitting right now.
It does not matter. Here's a perfect example. Remember, we went live on my Rams channel back when it was kind of just, I did whatever the hell I wanted. It wasn't just Rams. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Heimer Candelaria. We talked about him for a long time, right?
Right.
This is somebody that was hitting 258. Barely 800 OPS in Washington, and he was like a really interesting trade deadline opportunity, right? Like, and he did get traded, and he goes to, I think he went to Chicago first, and then he went to the Cincinnati Reds, or the Reds got him, but either way, you look at this guy right now, 113 batting average, 410 OPS. He's played 22 games. Last year, 225, 707, okay? Like, this is what I mean, is that they do this all the time. This is the trade deadline. You can trade a Trent Grisham type of player because teams are that desperate. It's like, think about it like this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You really, really want this product, whatever it is. You really want it. So Amazon has that 5 to 10 p.m. arrival today. And now you're paying, now you're paying what? It's $3 extra or whatever.
Yep, I pay it.
But I do too. But here's the deal. Here's the catch. The one that you want, let's just say it's a protein supplement, because I was just looking at protein powder. Let's just say that, okay?
Okay.
The flavor you want is going to take 10 days to get to you because it's out of stock. But you can, you just need protein powder, right? So you can get the really chalky, disgusting flavor like vanilla or blueberry pancake, right? And now you're essentially, because you need that protein in your diet, you need it as part of your workout regimen. Otherwise, you're not going to get optimal results. And you can't wait 10 days for the better tasting protein. You're spending the same amount of money, but you're actually spending more because it's going to arrive. So you're paying the $3 that to that go that day, and you're not getting what you want. You're just
Trent Grisham gets a trade. If Trent Grisham yields us value at the deadline. Now, if there's a team in Major League Baseball, mind you, I'm as happy as anyone for what Trent Grisham's doing. I am.
Yeah.
But I am a firm believer. If somebody is trading for Trent Grisham thinking that he's like, oh, he's going to be our Tommy Pham addition at the deadline, I think that is a major, major mistake on the part of whoever is trading for him. Now, mind you, if the Yankees could do that, then great, mm-hmm. because you get him the hell out of the way of Jason Dominguez. Now, if you don't think Jason Dominguez is a good enough player, you just asked me where the pop went, right? And that's a valid question. The pop is not there. He had a 3-homer game, but overall, he's not slugging right now. And so you have to say, why is that happening? If you think he's not going to be a star, there's no reason to have him. There's just not. And he still has value. He's young. He's projectable. He's obviously got the speed. So surely plenty of teams in baseball think that we can use Jason Dominguez. We can find a way to figure out these tools. So if I'm looking up and I say, well, who do I want to keep? Well, the answer is obvious. It's Jason Dominguez. But I need the answer first of what the Yankees really think. And I guess we won't find that out to the deadline. Jeff J with the super before he burns into the screen. He says, Baboon is a cream puff manager.
Damn.
Love that. That's new. He's their friend. No one is accountable. No fundamentals are taught. Ultimately, the players win or lose games. This is true. So we definitely have to at least address that. These players have been atrocious. But please, Lord, bring us a real manager. Mattingly, Jake, I know you're very high on Mattingly. Posada, even Girardi. So we know that Girardi, there's just no chance that they would go backwards. But
yeah, no, they wouldn't do that.
That would just never happen because it would Michael just K? Essentially... Oh, my God.
No. How about your dad?
Still no. No. So, yeah, I mean, I understand the frustration because when you watch this, especially during losing streaks, you're trying to figure out who to blame. And the players just don't seem, they seem to be just kind of echoing the person like the head of the snake. And you ask the boss, and the boss isn't our captain. I know that people want that to be the case, but your manager's your heartbeat. He just is. He's sort of the first one in front of the cameras. He's there pregame talking, right? He's still there postgame. He's talking all day long in spring training. He's helping make decisions with the roster. He doesn't make them, but he helps. It's a tough job. And old school managers just tend to be more fan friendly. They tend to have their heart on their sleeve a lot more often. And Boone doesn't have that. He's actually from Garrett Cole today in the booth. When they were like, what do you like about Boone? He was like, took him like 40 minutes to answer the question.
Well, it takes him 40 minutes to answer anything, to be fair.
He is a bad interview. He really...
I feel bad. I think it's maybe like kind of a socially awkwardness. Like he's had that for a while.
I like that he takes his time and that he's giving the attempt to give us a real answer. That I enjoy. So
yeah.
But it took him forever. And then he came out and said, well, Boone, in his best quality is that he's even keeled. He doesn't get too high. He doesn't get too low. He kind of is a perfect mic. I know. He's a perfect microcosm of what baseball is. I mean, you're going to be great one week as a great team, and then you're going to show up against Cincinnati and just fart yourself. You're not going to score. And all the fans are like, why can't you score runs? Well, you can't be like that as a manager. We get that. But you also can't just be like,
we'll get him tomorrow.
We'll get him. I mean, there has to be a middle ground, and obviously Jeff Jay is mentioning he thinks Mattingly, Posada, and even Girardi may be the guys who can do that.
Alexander, thank you for the 20. I came here to hear you lay into the Yankees. I got a 2-for-1 hearing you trash my Niners. Deserved. Yeah, I've had a few rough years watching my teams blow it. Oh, yeah.
He chose some bad teams to root for, Jake.
I know. Well, and he's watching. He's got the Ram jersey in the background, so he already knows where I'm coming from there. But, no, appreciate you, Alexander, for the super. Yeah, I mean, really what it comes down to is Boone. I think Boone is better, and this is exactly how I look at Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan is a top 8 coach in the NFL. Regardless of how you feel about him, that's what he is. Boone is the same. He is. Now, the NFL, they're way better coaches than there are managers in the MLB. I stand by that. But Boone is still a good coach, and Kyle Shanahan is a good coach. Boone's issue, similar to Kyle Shanahan, is that he can't get over the hump. But it also, and they are different. Don't get me wrong. They're not exactly the same. Like I said, Kyle Shanahan, he has like that heat behind him that Boone has against managers or against umpires. Kyle Shanahan has that against his players, against the media. Boone doesn't really show that fearsome thing against the media unless he's doing the slamming of the table.
Do you think Yankees fans would like that? Because obviously, Brett Gardner was doing that, right? And there were a lot of people who weren't fans of the Yankees who were just blowing up my phone. When Brett Gardner was just destroying the top of our dugout with his bat.
That looked ridiculous. I'm sorry.
It looked very stupid. But I will tell you, 100% of the people who liked it were Yankees fans messaging me. Everybody else was like, this looks so stupid. Now, if Boone was Lou Piniella, for example, he was just a hothead who just sprints out there. He's super old school. You literally saw Ron Washington on the other side. Ron Washington on the other side is as old school as they come. The last time, right? The last time we saw them, he just refused to pitch to Aaron Judge. He did. So,
yeah,
it seems like Ron Washington kind of knows what he's doing.
He does. Hey, Ron Washington is a great manager. Okay, he's old. He's been around for a while. But people forget those Rangers teams. That close.
That was the brutal.
Giants.
I was rooting for them.
I felt bad for him. I was rooting for the Giants because of my grandpa. But I felt bad for him. He seems like a nice guy. You know, and he seems like an old school, like you mentioned, old school baseball guy. Doesn't overly use analytics. I don't think he uses a lick of analytics.
He would go out there with a heater if they let him. I guarantee you. There's no way. If they would let him, he would go out there with a Marlboro. Guaranteed.
Oh, absolutely.
I wish they would, because they were going to ban tobacco. Why can't the managers smoke in the dugout?
They should have banned tobacco the moment Jarrett Wright got hit in the face with the, remember that?
No, I don't.
He was pitching for the Yankees and he like swallowed the tobacco because he got hit so hard in the face.
I don't remember that. No,
you don't remember that?
No, I don't.
I feel probably bad, PTSD, but that's the from only all this thing other I remember. Stuff, but no. That's the only thing I remember from Jarrett Wright's time with the Yankees is that he got pelted in the face while chewing tobacco.
Interesting. I remember CC Sabathia. He would just throw in chompers.
Oh, yeah. Well, who's the other guy? Kyle Farnsworth, I think, did it.
Mm-hmm. He did.
Yeah.
I witnessed Kyle Farnsworth punch the hell out of a wall. You've never seen anything. You've never seen. Same thing with Kevin Brown. I've seen Kevin Brown walk into a clubhouse and just crow hop. A punch straight into the wall, just like straight through the drywall. Unbelievable, dude. Some of these dudes.
Why scary. The rotation on his motion, like his pitching motion, was just bizarre.
Who, Kevin Brown?
He would be staring at second base. Yeah,
he was like,
dude, that would be way too distracting. I'd be like, by the time I turned around, like, oh shit. And like I'd have no idea what I was doing.
I already know Yankees fans, like, today, if he was pitching for the Yankees, they'd be like, how about looking at the catcher? Like, it's so easy to make that the scapegoat of why he doesn't know where the ball's going, but seemed to work for him. Love language, passive-aggressive, very interesting name. Well, I guess equals passive-aggressive. With the Super 5, thank you for that. We really appreciate it. And Apex, as usual, thank you for the 2. Says, this game is like watching old people be intimate. No comment. But it's a horrible brand of baseball and it doesn't feel like people care. So it's been bad. Sugar Honey Iced Tea with the five. We really appreciate it. Thank you. Says, I'm going to say something controversial. We love that. I'm glad you are. Says, I feel that while Judge is a great player, I don't think he is a good captain because he's afraid to be tough. So I'm going to disagree with you. I think he's the exact same way of Derek Jeter. I do. I think it's the exact same brand. I don't think it's any different. And I'm going to tell you why. When people look at Jeter, they say, oh, well, like he's the reason that all this goes. And it's the reason that they're able to get over the hump. And certainly like the clutch hits, that certainly has a lot to do with it. But when it comes to leadership, Jeter was quiet. He didn't say a whole lot. And when they put the microphone in front of him, it was strikingly like Aaron Judge. Well, I mean, you know what? We're just going to do this and we're going to do that. And we're going to see you tomorrow. Turn the corner. And so that would frustrate people. But you know why it didn't frustrate us? Because we were winning. If the Yankees had won the World Series in 2024, you guys think we give a rip? What if Aaron Judge is outspoken in the clubhouse? He's a leader. But
it was
we're
a combination of Aaron Judge and Stanton, because he'd have his moments where he'd be like, we lost. I don't care.
Which is absolutely a great thing. But you also have to remember, there were times when Alex Rodriguez was just the butt of all jokes, and not Yankees fans were not huge fans of him, right? He was getting booed a lot. And at that time, Derek Jeter very easily could have been like, hey, kind of not lay off of him, but he could have kind of softened the blow a little bit. People were kind of criticizing how Jeter was going about his business there. Now, mind you, I wasn't going to tell Derek Jeter or anybody else wasn't going to tell him how to go about it, but it tends to, when you're soft-spoken, it tends to look really good while you're winning. And when you're losing, people are like, where's the whip? Where's the mean guy that we need? So I don't really agree with this assessment. I think Judge is just an all-time great player that right now is just in the midst of a team that just can't get it done.
Yeah. I mean, I think also when the captain came out, because I mean, that was a great, you know, docuseries.
Yeah.
Awesome. I feel like the captain coming out has since kind of added more to Derek Jeter, his persona, where he looks more rah-rah maybe than giving credit for, you know what I mean, throughout his career. Because in the captain, he had those moments because, I mean, it was him. It was about him. It's his personality. So I think it's important to remember. I mean, someday Aaron Judge is going to have something like that, and we're going to get to see things that we never saw. And I just think it's kind of like, you know, it's revisionist history, if you will. You know, because, you know, we can say, oh, yeah, you know, he's not Derek Jeter. But to your point, I love Derek Jeter, but that to me was always the thing that I didn't like, is that I felt like A-Rod definitely could have used a little bit more, you know, and honestly, A-Rod never should have had to move to third because he was the better. So I think partially, I know there's that idea that you have, you know, essentially the competitive nature that Jeter had, but in the best interest of the team, which Jeter was that type of guy, I would have been like, hey, I'll move to third. Like, A-Rod is the best shortstop in the league.
Yeah, I guess what happens if, like, isn't that a part of leadership? If someone is better than you at something, would you let them do that job?
I mean, right? Judge moved to center field after he was basically a right fielder.
Yeah, I mean, was Juan Soto at any point, was he going to be better at right field? No, but it was best for the team for him to be plugged at the easiest defensive position for the Yankees at a short porch. So Aaron Judge was like, yeah, I'll go to center field. And you know what Aaron Judge's numbers look like? They did this defensively. They went down a cliff. So he did what he thought was best for the team. I'm going to get out of his way, right? And I'm going to go somewhere to help him. So I don't like this idea that Jeter was this tough, rugged leader and Aaron Judge is just this soft-spoken guy. I don't think that. I think also that Derek Jeter did benefit from who his manager was at the time. When you have a guy like Joe Torre, that helps. I'm here to tell you guys right now, when you guys mention some of these managers, if the manager means so much, well, then why exactly are we putting blame on a leader between Jeter and Judge? I don't see it. I don't get it.
I think Showalter helped too. I don't think Absolutely. He gets enough credit.
Absolutely.
I think he is one of the most underappreciated managers in the history of the game, and definitely in the history of the Yankees organization.
Yeah, it was like Doug Collins for the Bulls, right? They get rid of Doug Collins. They bring in Phil Jackson. They start winning, and then they just kind of forget about the guy who kind of teed it up. Same thing with Mark Jackson with the Golden State Warriors. They just kind of forget about you.
It happened to him with the Diamondbacks, too.
it's unfortunate that's yeah. kind of the way that it shook out, but everyone kind of knows he's a great manager. CT Cards has recently become a YouTube member with Yankees Unloaded. CT, welcome aboard.
Appreciate you,
very
CT.
Much appreciated. And love language, passive aggressive. God, the
appreciate
YouTube names
you.
Are
love,
just wildly
love language
interesting.
Equals passive aggressive. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for becoming a member. Greatly appreciate it. And Scott Ross has always been, he's been great for this channel. Scott, thank course. You for the five. Says sometimes you need change for change sake at the top. And I kind of agree with this. I do. Get a nice little change of scenery, of flavor. 8 years, we've digressed. So need a new voice. Whether you like Boone or not, it's not working. So I'm curious about what Scott thinks. Is he saying that it's not working? We did win a pennant. And I'm not saying that this is an excuse. But I'm curious if Scott feels like, okay, is that working? If we won a pennant, say this year again, and then we had the brakes beaten off us again. Last year, Jake, when I asked you, your answer unequivocally was, if we win a pennant, yes, I want to win the World Series when we get there. That's not going to change. But if we win a pennant, I think Boone's job should be safe. Long story short, we do win a pennant. Regardless of how we got there, we lose in hilarious fashion. And then we start over, right? Feels like we're just starting over from scratch. If we went out and, say, won a pennant again, is that now considered not working? That's my question. So I don't know that it's not working, but I feel like the Yankees' overall baseline for regular season baseball, they don't really have high expectations of themselves. And I think that's my biggest problem, and not even so much October.
Do you feel like, to a degree, maybe baseball, because we've seen teams like fire their manager and actually stay the course. I mean, a good example is Joe Girardi, and then Rob Thompson takes over and, mm-hmm. you know, they still have success. Do you think it should be more like the NHL? Because NHL, we see it all the time. NHL coaches get fired in the middle of the season, go to another team, and then another coach goes to that team. And both right. coaches have success on other teams, getting that essentially that change of scenery that, you know, essentially Scott is alluding to here. A really good example of this, by the way, his name is Bruce Cassidy. He was the coach of Boston, the Boston Bruins. They were dominant, right? Dominant team. But they could not win a Stanley Cup, right? They just could not do it. And they lost to, ironically now, I think the Florida Panthers won it all, or they're getting close to it. They lost to the Florida Panthers, I believe, in the first round. And so right after that, everybody in 2021, 2022, all the fan base turned on him. It was like, get rid of him. We don't care that we're winning every year. We don't care that we're the number one seed. We're not winning the cup. It doesn't matter, right? So he ends up getting fired. He goes to Vegas. He wins the Stanley Cup the next year. So it is one of those things where sometimes, you know, I feel like the NHL kind of has, it's weird, it's different, it's not like the MLB, but the NHL, this is kind of the norm where a coach will just, he'll get fired, he'll catch on to another team. It happens during the season. And I wonder if baseball adopted this more, where this would go, because the reality is, Gary, there's only two teams every year that are trying to win a World Series, the Yankees and Dodgers. No one else is trying to win a World Series. They're trying to place, right? They're you go and you bet on the horses or whatever. They're trying to place. They're putting together a top three.
If they lose in the championship series, they're going to say, look how far we got.
Yeah.
If we got to the World Series, look how far we got. That's
they're
their conclusion.
The place.
But the Dodgers, if the Dodgers lose at any point before hoisting another World Series title this year, they're going to say, well, that was a waste of time. That sucked.
Yeah.
It sucked. The Yankees, regardless of how good you guys think this team is, you guys can think it's the greatest, the 27 Yankees, or you can think we're going to win 86 games. You can think that. That's perfectly fine. But regardless of what happens, if we lose at any point before the final out of the World Series, the Yankees are going to look at this and say, at least the fans will, and say that was a failure. Didn't work. And now we're going to start looking at Kyle Tucker. Can he make the difference? Or can this other arm, right? Skeens, when's he available? You start looking, it doesn't matter who they are. The Yankees fans are going to view it as a failure. So I, just for forewarning here, Aaron Boone is not in jeopardy of losing his job. I want to make sure that's abundantly clear. He's not going to be fired. You mentioned what's happening with the NHL. The Yankees aren't run that way. regardless of the what they're doing, if they want to do something different, if it works for them in that league, maybe it does. But the Yankees also have to view it as, who's going to be our replacement, right? Is that replacement going to be better than Aaron Boone? Is it going to bring us to the place that we want to go? And if they feel like the answer is no, they're never going to make that move. So how long does this go? Scott thinks it's gone on long enough. But for me personally, I don't really think it's that much of an X's and O's issue for me. I just want to see Aaron Boone just make more sensible ways to hold people accountable. I think if he could do that one thing, I would be much happier as a fan. And I think this Yankees team could actually have a genuine shot to win, but that's a big part of baseball. It's a big part of sports. Can you hold the best players on your team accountable? Not Aaron Judge, right? These are guys who are going to be going into the Hall of Fame. But when guys don't know the outs, right? Guys like Ben Rice are trying to steal third base with two outs. Jake, you literally told me before we went live, you're like, why'd we even try to do that, right? These are things that the players should be afraid of Boone seeing them do that. They're not afraid. And yeah. Can you win a World Series while your players just have no fear they're going to be held accountable? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe. Maybe Scott's wrong. Maybe. But so far, we're not. So far, it seems like it can get you far, but it can't get you all the way. So I hope I'm wrong. I hope that I can put my hand up and be like, yeah, that take was off, and I get to wear it. But so far, I haven't worn any one of those takes.
Yeah, I actually, you guys know by now, I like Boone. So I'm not calling for his head. It was just more so an idea across baseball, because it's like, you look at some of these teams, Gary, you're like, how the hell is that guy your manager? Like, that dude was a pinch runner back 10 years ago, and he's your manager. And he just it isn't even good. And you know what I mean? It's wild to me. But no, I look at like this league right now. Who is the one authoritarian that you think of that is a manager right now? Because there's only one that comes to mind, and it is Robbie Thompson. That's it.
That's fair. I would also say I feel like Bruce Bochy would just scare the hell out of me.
Oh,
and mind you, he's retiring.
Yeah, that's fair.
So he would scare the hell out of me. If I did something, I'll tell you this. If I was playing for Anaheim.
Schilt? The guy for the Padres, he'll kill
you. He will. But yeah. I mean, Boone has shown also that he can scream at guys. There's a difference. Right. But yeah. Ron Washington, I think if I was running at second base and I was like, oh, that's the third strike. Let me start jogging back. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, and I start going back to second base and I'm out. My first thought is, oh, wow, all these fans saw me do that. But also, there's no way in hell I'm staying in this game. Ron's going to rip me a new one. Wait till I get back in there. As soon as you get back in there, this is how it goes, guys. Ron would look at you and be like, hey, man, you're too good for that. We're going to have Timmy go out for you. Shit.
So,
damn.
It's funny. You know how I said top eight, by the way, with Boone?
Mm-hmm.
I just saw an article, all 30 MLB managers ranked, and he's eighth.
I think he's better than what people think because he's managing the Yankees. But
there's one guy that I think is genuinely making a mission to like overachieve and doing like in a league that I don't think that there's anybody that's great manager wise. Well, Bruce Bochy is a Hall of Famer, so I don't want to say that. Yeah, he is. Craig Counsell. You brought him up because of his batting stance. Look at what he's done for the Cubs. And that's a guy, say what you will, I'm not throwing Boone under the bus, but that's a guy the Yankees could have gone after. That was the hot commodity. You know,
I guess I would have to peel back the details of how he actually does his job. I'm not going to sit up here and be like, oh, the Cubs overachieve. Well, good for them. They also have underachieved. Like, right? They underachieved last year. They should have won a division. They didn't. Milwaukee wasn't good last year, still went out there and won anyway. Chicago should have been that team. So you can also blame Craig Counsell in that regard. So I guess my point is
Kevin Cash with what he's doing with Tampa right now.
Yes, Kevin Cash would also be another really good example. But I would have to watch like 30 games. And when I watch those games, I need to see what comes out of their mouth, right? What do they look like after a loss? How does it prolong? And that this is the reason why you look up at Tampa and you look at some of these teams and you're like, they don't really have that much talent. They don't lose four or five games in a row. They just tend to win two in a row. They'll lose maybe two. And then there's no way it's not going to go on for 4 or 5 days. They tend to get back on the horse because I think they just have a certain fear and level of expectation. Whereas for us, we're like, oh, well, yeah, in June we may be bad, but by mid-July, we'll get it going. Well, if you have that mentality, then maybe, just maybe, you're more susceptible to falling into those lulls, those June swoons, as people have been calling it.
Oh, good God.
So, yeah, I hate seeing it. I've seen it all over X. And Ninja Hot Dog with the 5 says, we won the pennant by beating Kansas City and Cleveland. We'll get to our Profit X picks just after this. Says the teams would have beaten us there, conveniently lost. We collapsed when we faced a good team. So, yeah, you can definitely draw the conclusion. We never faced a great team. That Cleveland team snuck in. Class A, as much as we were doing against Class A, Class A was getting destroyed the series prior. They snuck in. They did. They survived to get to us. And we took care of business. We did. And we still had to beat playoff teams. We deserve credit. And I still give the Yankees credit for winning the pennant. But did you really feel like the Kansas City Royals were going to go out there and beat the Yankees? No. They were never going to do that. Can it happen in the future? Sure. Right? You bring up Caglione. Maybe they bring in a guy at the deadline. Okay. But that Kansas City team, the team that we were watching, Jake, they had nothing for the Yankees. It was going nowhere. We beat the teams we should have, and then we ran into the Dodgers. And then the rest is history. I know you said, Jake, that that series probably should have been a lot more competitive, and I agree with you. But I think we probably should have lost to the Dodgers. They were the better team. And I agree. It is what it is. So, yeah, Ninja Hot Dog just seems to believe that we won the pennant because of the teams we played. That's certainly a part of it. What do you think, Jake?
I think they would have beaten the Astros or the Tigers, so I disagree. But but I think that's fair, you know. I just because I disagree doesn't mean I don't think that's a fair point. Because it's not like they were playing the Mets. It's not like they were playing the Padres. I mean, I understand they're in the AL, but, you know, the Dodgers had to go through the Mets and the Padres. And I still think the Yankees could have beaten the Padres and the Mets in the World Series. I do. I think the Dodgers just have their number. But I also think the Dodgers having their number and they still were in every game. And the only game that was a blowout, they blew them out. So, yeah.
That's fair. We also did that in 09. I mean, we're beating Minnesota, right?
Yeah.
It's not like we beat.
If we're going to do that, then we could just sit here all day and say, well, Tom Brady played in the AFC East, which was dog shit.
Yeah, it's terrible. But,
you know,
if you actually bring that up and you're being genuine,
yeah,
it's like, all right, it's just kind of pointless. So you play who you play. If we'd won the World Series, no one would be like, well, we only beat Kansas City and we only beat Cleveland, right? Because you did win against the Dodgers. So I guess I just don't care who we play. The Yankees just need to know at the end of the year, we're the best team standing. And have they made the correct decisions to be able to do that? I don't know. So, Jake, let's get to our picks.
We got two more super chats here. The super chats are flowing.
Sure,
Scott,
are.
Appreciate you. The truth is, if Hal opened the checkbook, that's how the game changes. I don't know we can get there until he does. See, I don't entirely agree. Like, I understand where your thought is at, but, like, I feel like this team right now, this iteration of this team, yes, we can talk about what they've done the last 5 games, but let's not ignore what they've done, you know, the last, 65 games, right? And the reality is this team has shown the ability to beat anybody except for really the Dodgers. So I'm not going to just kind of change my opinion on this team. Yeah, and Boston. I'm not going to change my opinion on this team over 5 games, but I understand like where he's coming from. And yes, if you open the checkbook, it would help for sure. But this team can win the World Series the way they are, just like last year's team could in 2022 and 2017 and 2019. The margin for error is that slim. When you get there, you can do it. They came close, no cigar. Keep in mind, there are a lot of great teams in the NBA, but the Golden State Warriors won all those championships. Only one team can win, right? You look at the Houston Astros, they were essentially the Golden State Warriors during that run. You might say, well, you know, that's kind of ridiculous and making excuses. That's just the reality of it. It's not a crapshoot, so I definitely don't want it to make it sound like it is. Extra innings with the new rules is a crapshoot, but
Yeah, something gives you the edge. Is a something. There's a recipe to why certain teams win, whether it's their manager, whether you want to say they have more offense and they can have better situational hitting, whether they have better starting pitching and you're kind of relying on bullpen guys. You can blame a ton of things as to why the Yankees didn't win a World Series the past decade. You can. So I understand Scott Ross in this frustration totally that if Hal opened the checkbook, I try to look at Hal's spending from a player-to-player basis rather than just looking at the $300 million and then we move on to the season. If we go into this offseason and you hear, okay, Kyle Tucker's available, Jason Dominguez hasn't shown a lick of the potential we thought he would do, well, there's no reason not to go full board for this player. You didn't get Juan Soto, you should get this guy. It's just as simple as that. And Kyle Tucker is a perfect fit for the Yankees. He is. He's a perfect fit for a lot of teams. So if the Yankees looked at it and said, well, we can't go as deep into the waters as these other teams because of what we're spending, Scott, I'll agree with you 100%.
Oh, absolutely. I still don't think they're going to get him. I think the Mets are, but, you know.
You're kind of proving Scott's point is that you believe that the Mets are just going to get this player because they won't open the checkbook. That's the only reason they don't. It's a ridiculous idea that we would allow the Mets to go out there. I'm fine. It happens with one player, but if you let it repeat, now it's a problem. And now that's they're just going to do
you've given them, you've given them an inch. They've taken a mile and then you've given them nothing in return to show you why they can't take a mile. Essentially.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. So I'll agree with you, Scott. If that ends up transpiring, a perfect fit, very similar to what you saw at a Bryce Harper. You saw it with Manny Machado, right? We saw it.
It was worse perfect with Bryce fits. Harper because they're like, yeah, he can't play first. And then he literally ends up playing first for Philly.
Oh, really? I think it was just equally as treacherous. I think Manny Machado, there was no explanation why we didn't sign Manny Machado. It made no sense.
Yeah.
It made no sense. He's a Hall of Fame baseball player. He's going to the Hall of Fame to play third. We haven't had a good third baseman. Gio Urshela played third base for the Yankees, and we were like, we love this. This is great. Gio Urshela.
Yeah, and as great as Manny Machado was, like Bryce Harper, you get a chance to sign a guy like that who wanted to go to the Yankees. I don't know. It's that one frustrates me the most, I would say. And it's mainly because Cashman came out and said, we didn't think he could play first. And now I have to every single year see this guy play first for Philly and go on and win two MVPs.
Yeah, I mean, it was terrible. And Sugar Honey Iced Tea, love the name. Thank you for the two. Says, I think Jeter didn't like A-Rod, so didn't defend him. Honestly, Jeter pretty much did whatever the front office in the league, they wanted him to do. He was just a great player, and he was the face of winning.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Derek Jeter wasn't going to, like, go and step over Joe Torre and do something. That wasn't going to happen. It wasn't going to happen. Derek Jeter was the face of what the Yankees were trying to build, and it worked because the Yankees are winning. So they let it fly. So, yeah, it was – I thought he could have definitely done more to defend Alex, especially given the fact that he was like, well, I'll play third base, even though he knows he's the best player on the damn team. So,
oh, yeah. And I thought I he did like a lot. Fans give Alex enough credit for the fact that he's like, yeah, I'll play third, even though I'm the best in the league at shortstop. Like, I'll play third.
And now A-Rod's left off a list. They're like, oh, yeah, Adrian Beltre is a better third baseman all the time.
Oh, my God. No. What? I can't even get into that because I
know
A-Rod is the greatest third baseman ever. When you look at just if that's what we're talking about, I mean, I think he might be the greatest shortstop ever, to be honest with you. And he
just took himself out of the shortstop category by choice. And he wouldn't have become a Yankee if he didn't choose that. That was part of the deal.
Yeah, because it was Boone, right?
It was Boone. Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that funny?
Mm-hmm.
It all funny. Comes back to Aaron Boone. Yeah. He hurt himself in a pickup basketball game. Was that it?
Oh, I have absolutely no idea.
Or was it a skiing thing? I don't remember, but he hurt himself.
I don't know, but you're not allowed to ski technically for the Yankees. That is a technical rule.
Really?
Yeah.
You can't ski.
No. We went anyway, but I mean, you're not allowed. If you get hurt skiing, you get in a lot of trouble. Like, they can void your contract. Yeah.
Well, how do you think the Colts felt about Andrew Luck?
Yeah, he's like, I'm too banged up.
Yeah, peace. See ya. I'll never forget when he did that during a preseason game, and everyone, he's coming out and everyone's like, oh, this is so cool. And he's like, oh, I'm done. And they're like, what?
It was such a stupid way to do it. Let's get into tomorrow's game. So
yeah,
Ryan Yarbrough's starting tomorrow and
against
Ryan's
that one
been great.
Dude.
Oh, do you think they're going to talk about what he's good at too? His ERA is 5.53. I'm here to tell you guys right now, stop letting broadcasts tell you what pitchers do well when their ERA is almost six. The rest of baseball just destroys them. We love the broadcast, but when ERAs are almost six, that tells you right then and there.
Coach Chanowitz.
Other teams don't struggle with this. Whatever that product is, they don't struggle. So you should have reasonable expectation that in a 3-4 game window, pitchers with five ERAs shouldn't be dominating your baseball club. It shouldn't be taking you 29 innings to score, and that streak is still alive.
How is this happening again? Yarbrough versus Chanowitz again. Like, this is the second time we've seen it with Rodon and Crochet.
That is wild.
This is back in May 27th, and they just happen to be on perfect alignment with days off and what have. That's wild. In that game, by the way, Yankees won 5-1. That was in Anaheim. I don't know why we call them LA. They're not playing in LA.
Not even close.
Was the one Neto hit a home run. Remember? He started off with the home run.
I remember.
And then that was the game Volpe doubled. They walked the bases loaded, and then Wells hit a sacrifice fly. So in that game, Cody Bellinger went 2-for-3 and the rest really didn't do anything, but the Yankees did enough to win. And that was that. Kochanowicz went 6 2/3.
Okay.
Did not give up a home run. He's given up 13 this year. So,
Ben Rice is hitting a home run tomorrow. So you guys can all just go ahead and lock that in. Wow. So you can select 1.5 total bases. That is fine. That's my one selection. That is my one guarantee. I don't care what else we pick. Ben Rice is going deep tomorrow.
And Chanowitz is a right-handed batter. Okay, so our right-hand pitcher. I don't care what he hits if he's a pitcher. Like, so
yeah, that'd be old school.
Ben Rice, I'm going to keep the train rolling. I think Stanton is just going to he's just on a heater right now. So I'm going to go with Stanton total bases.
I could see them just giving Stanton a day tomorrow. I'm really sorry. I'm conditioned. But
if they give him a day,
it's a good problem
after
have.
Losing five in a row, and mm-hmm. he's the only one that's contributing right now.
Yeah. It's a great problem to have, we've been told.
I'm
just here to extend the message to you guys. So I hope that you listen to my words.
Yeah, that's smash your head against a wall territory. That would make me so angry. I'd be pissed.
Okay, how about this? I think I know what I want people to drop in the comments. Before you go, please drop what your starting nine would be, and don't tell me who you would put in the rotation. Give me your nine best guys. If we had to win a game tomorrow, who plays? Because the Yankees keep saying we've got good problems to have. We've got a ton of depth, a bunch of guys that can't play despite being good at baseball, despite having a real justification of playing. You guys tell me what your starting nine is, who would you play, and who would you just leave out of the rotation? Who would you just start on a day-to-day basis? Because I think the Yankees are coming to a point where I think they need to get to a more regulated schedule of who plays and who does not.
Well, with Wells struggling, I'd have Ben Rice a catcher tomorrow.
That was literally the first thing Charles Barkley said. No Wells.
Wells is struggling again. I'm sorry. I can't just not have a guy who's hitting 110 every time he goes to the plate. Because eventually it's going to turn around. It just is. So, yeah, okay. That's where I'm at. Definitely. Yeah. And I saw it earlier today on social media. Well, the biggest issue is that Ben Rice can't throw anybody out. And I was like, and I just calmly said, who's throwing anybody out on this team right now?
Absolutely
if that's
nobody.
Ben Rice's biggest issue. By all means.
Just be catching. And they've been having him catch bullpens all year long, by the way. It's not like it's just first time throwing on gear in 2 months. No. Ben Rice catches bullpens. He helps out the team back there. He just does.
It's so funny with Ben Rice.
He's also hitting. He is. And I do want to bring up, love language with the chat as a member says Trent is riding bench. So clearly not a fan of Trent Grisham taking away reps from players who could potentially develop. But also, who else did I see? William Wallace says Rice is batting under 200 in the last 30 games, but that is 100% true. We can't even remix it, but he is hitting the ball hard. We believe that will change. We know that he's still responsible for where he hits the ball. You can't just hit rockets on the ground, but we think that if you hit the ball hard consistently, the results long-term will change. I think for it to change, Ben Rice has to play more often and more consistently. I think if the Yankees do that, they'd be a much better baseball team.
You know, I've seen a lot of Trent Grisham doesn't strike out as much as Ben Rice, you know, and that's why he plays. What if I told you that they have the same amount of strikeouts? And this is why these things that we call fallacies, it's just being made up. Austin Wells has struck out 4 times more than Ben Rice and Grisham. It's worth mentioning. So,
well, I feel like that tells the story. I feel like I see that. I visualize it.
Wells, but the on base percentage is still below 280. 280.
280.
He has a 279 on base percentage right now.
Well, like this video. Are you being for real? It's 280? It's way lower than I thought it was. 279? That's his on base?
Yeah. It's the lowest on the team.
Oh, boy. You'd think he was Johnny Bench throwing out runners.
B-Boss, 255. Peraza, 246. And Pablo Reyes, RIP, 242.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay. Well, on that note, make sure you guys subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. Within about 30 minutes of our show concluding, I tend to drop it in on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. I know you guys have already listened to the show almost an hour and a half. You guys probably aren't going to go into Spotify. But for those of you who want to do that in the future, it will be there within a few minutes. And make sure you subscribe and like this video.